Hi, my name's Russell Norman, and welcome to Blue Marble Storytellers, bringing you great stories from around the globe. On this episode, we bring you a humorous and insightful story written and read by our very own Deidre Lovegren. This story was a recent winning entry on the Readsy Prompts Short Story Writing Competition. Deidre is my co-host on both this podcast and the Read Lots, Write Lots podcast, where we talk to writers about their journey and discuss some of the great stories they have written. Please enjoy this wonderful story.
You present me with a gift bag as if legions of angels will descend, trumpeting your thoughtfulness in remembering my insert celebratory event here. I'm gracious, of course. You shouldn't have. And I mean that, you shouldn't have, because now you are stepping over the line. We are simply co-workers, or mothers with children at the same school, or neighbors with dogs, or old friends from college, or spouses of old friends from college. Regardless, we are not on gift-bagging terms, especially the kind you immediately re-gift to other peripheral friends. Scented candles, cheap chocolates, fuzzy socks, calendars, coffee mugs. You shouldn't have, because now I need to remember if you were born in March or April. I need to invite you over for lunch at the Cheesecake Factory and overpay for complicated chicken salads and Diet Cokes. We will debate for a nanosecond about ordering a slab of artery-strangling dessert. We will joke about cheesecake being high in dietary protein, yet when the waiter returns from clearing our half-eaten salads, we will trill together in unison, Oreo Dream Extreme Cheesecake. What's a little heart disease amongst gift bagging friends? You shouldn't have. I'm holding the gift bag in my hands, both of us standing with frozen smiles on our faces. Now what? You're expecting me to open the gift bag like there isn't a Googleplex of more important things that I need to attend to. But who am I to hold up the unveiling of your selfless act of generosity? Let's just open the frickin' bag, shall we? Since you coughed up $13.99 for one of Hallmark's finest, I take my time, appraising the bedazzled foil and colorful ribbons, as if it were the work of a 19th century post-impressionist. As expected, animal-related puns are splattered across the front, thinking of you, feeling fine. Let's go for a drink. Isn't that clever? We both agree that it is. Between forced chuckles, I wonder when we, as a society, quit taking the extra 4 minutes to thoughtfully wrap presents. At what point did we collectively agree that it was socially acceptable to shove gifts into a bag, not even bothering to remove the clear plastic hanging tag? And as a follow-up, what's the point of gift bags for wine? All questions for another day. It's time for me to cull through the vibrantly colored tissue paper, fuchsia, electric blue, chartreuse, and see what treasure is there for me at the bottom. Midway down, my fingers touch what you've selected. Good God, woman, what have you done? By the size and heft of your gift, it's clear that you purchased me a book on purpose. Let me get one thing clear. I like to pick out my own books. I have a stack of books of them by my bed right now that I'm never going to read, and now I have to add yours to the pile? To compound insult to injury, you're going to ask me about this book when I see you again. I use all of my remaining bandwidth to pull out this publication from your gift bag, read aloud the title like a sacred scroll, and then find some authentic way to say thank you for the worst present ever. In the meantime, let me ask you one thing. What were you thinking? I mean, let's just say you bought me a cookbook. Neither you nor I are going to master the art of French cooking in our lifetime, and I don't think I need someone from the Food Network's hot take on grilled cheese. At this point in American cuisine, we have given up. We've ceded dinner to DoorDash, and whatever overpriced shit is shoveled into the Home Chef or Blue Apron box, prepped in an airport hangar, ensconced in ecologically toxic packaging and dry ice to make me think twice about driving through Chick-fil-A for the third time this week. Look, neither of us are mincing garlic or zesting orange peel. Even if I do like one of these 16-part recipes, I'm going to have to hunt down tarragon at the Food Lion use an eighth of a teaspoon, and then let the rest of it rot in the back of the pantry. Pass. Poetry? If you purchase me a book of poetry for me, it's probably one of your relatives. Timeless works, and you're just abusing the Amazon algorithm to jack up their sales. And fun fact, unless you are physically intimate with someone, it's illegal in most states to gift books of poetry. That's just the law. True crime? As opposed to fake crime? Look, Dominic Dunn and Eric Larson notwithstanding, I don't think I need to slog through the sick underbelly of mankind. Isn't that what HLLN is for? As for a mystery, at my age, most things are a mystery. The socio-political landscape, what's going on with my neck, my spouse, the viability of my career, my belief in God, what my children do on the internet, and my cat's ability to throw up exactly where I step. Why complicate a complicated world even further? I don't need any more surprises. Keep your mysteries off my nightstand. Fantasy? Oh my God. If you bought me the first installment of any fantasy series, I will drive over to your house and burn it to the ground. Of course, it is part of a sprawling 6-part hexology with a companion guide listing all the neologisms with maps. Why wouldn't I enjoy an excruciatingly detailed realm with 100 characters and settings? Although I appreciate the intensive world building some author has conjured up in his parents' basement, I'll wait until Netflix buys it, effectively ruining it as only Hollywood can do by ensuring there is a video game tie-in and family-friendly plush toys. Science fiction? Reread the above. Romance? I mean, that's just cruel. You and I are far past the bodice-ripping stages in our lives. No one with abs is sneaking through our garden gate. And I'm less worried about the deviant Duke of Castle Waterbridge tingling my nether regions and more concerned about my 401k being ravaged by inflation. Short stories? A book of short stories? If I want paper-thin characterization, cliched themes, and a mere hint at a plot, I'll write it myself. Oh, no. No, 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 no. I can no longer hold my smile as I choke back waves of nausea. You did it. You bought me the number one New York Times best-selling self-help book. You shouldn't have.
We trust you enjoyed this story and really appreciate you listening to this podcast and supporting the great writers featured. To further support the writers, we'd also like to encourage you to share the links to this podcast far and wide. If you are a writer and you'd like to showcase your work or talk to us about your writing on Read Lots, Write Lots, we'd love to hear from you. Please get in touch with us by sending an email to russell@bmpublish.com. I would also like to mention we have a new Discord chat channel to provide a place for writers to meet, chat, laugh, cry, and generally have fun in a supportive environment in which to share your love of writing. If you'd like to join our chat, you can find the details on our websites, readlotswritelots.com and bluemarblestorytellers.com. Before I go, I'd also like to mention we have recently uploaded our entire back catalogue of stories to the Blue Marble Storytellers YouTube channel, so you can find the full list of great stories there as well as on the podcast channels. Well, that's it for this episode. So on behalf of Deidre and myself, till next time, thanks for listening and bye for now.